Hi, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Yeah, so I forgot to ask you on the last podcast, how was that Power Rangers convention?
Oh, yes. I loved it. I'm a big Power Ranger fan. Have been one ever since I was a kid. It was a lot of fun. The costume that I did, I don't know how familiar you are with the original Power Rangers show.
Vaguely, like I know some of the characters, but like I probably have to look at a picture to like re-trigger some memories or whatever.
So the costume I went as is the character's name is Ernie, and he runs the juice bar that the Power Rangers are always hanging out at. It's a really easy costume. It's just like a Hawaiian shirt and an apron, and I make these fake milkshakes. The costume blew up. Everyone loved it at the convention.
Nice.
And so day one, I'm at the convention. People were asking to take pictures with me. And do you remember when we did the Mulan Friends?
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, we have that effect whenever we conferences.
Yeah, it was like a lesser version of that. I don't think I'll ever feel that as when we did the, like, the Mulan trio.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, in context for anybody who's listening and wondering, what do these guys mean by Mulan friends? So Jimmy, myself, and a mutual friend, Vince, you know, three of us, we wanted to go as a themed costume, like something that the three of us could do that like encompasses a single idea or whatever. So we're like, oh, what can we do? And then we were thinking like, you know, in Mulan, how there's those three guys who are Mulan's friends or whatever. And to sneak into the palace, they dress up like concubines and like trick the guards or whatever. So we did that. We were the three guys dressed up like concubines. So we had like the kimono on, but then we also had like the hair. We got wigs. We had the white makeup and lipstick and all of that jazz. So
yeah, and we could not. Comic-Con's big. Like, Comic-Con's hard to walk through normally. And we're talking about San Diego Comic-Con. So, it's big. But I would say it took us a couple, maybe even 3 hours, to get from one side of the, like, exhibit floor to the other side. Just with so many people asking, like, can we get a picture and stuff, and, like, things like that.
Yes. I mean, that was just so funny. Like, it was annoying, too. Don't get me wrong. But it was also pretty awesome. Like, it was, you know, we would walk maybe, like, 4 feet. And then all of a sudden, somebody was like, oh, Mulan, we got to get a picture. This is my childhood.
Man, I knew it was going to be a popular one, but not as popular as it was, as it turned out to be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're, like, on a bunch of people's phones.
That is true. I do take a lot of pictures of the cosplayers, and I'm always like, now what do I do with these pictures? Because I'm really bad about posting during the thing. And then sometimes I'm just like, oh, it's kind of like over, you know?
Yeah. Well, with cloud storage nowadays, there's no incentive to like delete anything. Oh, yeah. I have a bunch of photos of things that I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I did take a picture of that.
But this costume I did at the Power Ranger convention was, I would say, just as popular because day one, I'm taking pictures of the people. I'm getting stopped a lot. And day two, I wake up and one of my friends from California texts me, is like, oh, I love your costume. I'm like, huh, I didn't post my costume up. And I guess I took a picture with someone who has a lot of Twitter followers. I don't know. Their name is Mega64. I don't know if you know who that is.
No.
Because I didn't know who it was. But Mega64 posted a picture that he took with me. And he said, like, this is the best costume I've seen at the convention. And it had, like, 500 likes and, like, a whole bunch of retweets. And then someone else posted a picture that had, like, over 900 likes and a lot of retweets. So my picture was circulating. And I was like, how do I get this to help me? You know? It was at this point, it was like, how do I use this clout?
to get me a job or get me in the next movie or something like that. Yeah, that's exactly what I'd be thinking too.
Yeah, I would say I was very popular in the Power Ranger community that weekend. Someone was like, our Discord is talking about you. And I'm like, cool. I don't know what this means for me, but I appreciate it.
I think people really like creative, like outside of the box costumes. Like, you know that at any comic convention or whatnot, people are going to do the standard costume. Like, oh, I'm going to, like, yeah, Power Ranger convention. People are going, I want to go as my favorite Power Ranger. I'm going to go as a Zord, or I'm going to go as Rita Repulsa or something. Like, they're going to do kind of the common things. I think people really like when people, like, think outside of the box and do something that is not expected. Like, oh, I'm the guy who works behind the counter or something. Like, it's a character everybody recognizes, but nobody thought to actually put on.
Yeah, I also love, we did another group costume as well, where we went as 90s Nickelodeon shows.
Yes.
And I really loved that one too. That was a lot of fun.
I absolutely agree. Like,
I think, you know, that was popular too.
Yeah, that one, I mean, granted, it was like in Dallas, so it was much smaller, but it was still like super popular. And people just kept stopping us to be like, oh, hey, can we take a picture with you? Oh, this is our childhood.
And you're like, it's mine too.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, it's both of our childhoods. Yeah, because, like, yeah, we're not that. Like, I grew up, I will watch the old Mulan like a million times before I'd watch the new Mulan. I still think that's one of the best 90s Nickelodeon cartoons. Or not Nickelodeon, sorry, Disney cartoons.
The new Mulan is such a failure. You can't take the songs out of Mulan. Like, that should be like, some things are sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And the music in Mulan is sacred.
Well, and also a lot of what made Mulan great, like, they got rid of. So, like, in the original comic, not the original comic, sorry, the original movie, what made it great was that, like, she had to, like, grow into this character, how to be this. She, like, had to learn how to be this great character and how to be strong. And then she had to use her wit to, like, figure out ways to beat the Huns and everything. Like, oh, instead of fighting, I'll shoot the cannon at the thing, and we'll climb up the pillar and stuff. In this other one, it was like, oh no, she's the chosen one. She's born with the ability to control her chi and everything. And I'm like, it got rid of all of the, like, all of the things that made Mulan great.
Yeah, it took out the fun, like, not the fun, but, like, her having the will and the determination and, like, the skills. And it just made it, like, magic powers, like you were saying.
Exactly. I think like, all the character development that was in the original one was gone in this one. Like, everything that made Mulan great, it just didn't exist.
But, yeah, the convention was really great. I will say, though, Sheraton in Pasadena, California, turn your AC on in your lobby. That lobby was humid as heck. And I'm coming from Texas. I know California is warm right now. But, man, a lobby for a hotel should be, like, air-conditioned. Just my opinion.
Yeah, you did have the misfortune of going during the time, though, when, like, the entire state was told to conserve energy. So.
Oh, man. I was like, this is warm.
Yeah.
But it was a great convention. I do think we should do San Diego again.
I think so too. Now that, like, COVID's pretty much over and it seems like Comic-Con's kind of in its normal cadence now. You know, I think it was back to normal this year, wasn't it?
Yes. I did opt to not go this year. Not because of COVID stuff, but, like, I couldn't make two back-to-back California trips work. And I've never been to a Power Ranger convention, so I chose that over Comic-Con. Though I did miss, like, the Comic-Con feels. sleeping on concrete.
Oh yeah. I kind of wish we got to go to gosh, what's it called? D23, because apparently they played a lot of the trailers there for the upcoming Marvel movies. And, you know, I mean, obviously eventually we're going to get them in, you know, on YouTube or whatever, but I want to see them now. They did like what the Star-Lord, not Star-Lord, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then gave us the first look of Adam Warlock, and then they did the Quantumania one. And I think they did some more. So like those were for Comic-Con, but then in D23, they showed some other trailers too that we'll eventually get to see. But, you know, all the people who went got to see them that day.
All right, before we move on, D23, what kind of costume would you want to wear? Like, what cosplay would you want to do?
So I feel like we're limited.
So it's like Disney, Marvel,
Fox, LucasArts. So there's still a lot to pick from, but we're more limited. Like, I mean, I guess if you really want to, you can go as Batman, but it feels like you're not operating in the spirit of things. I don't know. So I'd more than likely, out of all the franchises they have, I think Marvel's probably my favorite one, so I'd probably opt for something Marvel. I probably would avoid doing like I'd probably pull like what you did, instead of doing like a major character that everybody recognizes, like, oh, I'm T'Challa or something, I'd find like I'd be the guy on the bus in Shang-Chi who's like recording everything. Like, that's what I would do.
This is tough. I know I asked the question. I don't really think about who I would want to be. Oh, dude. For you should do Powerline, because you wanted to do that.
That's true. I could be Powerline.
Is his name Powerline?
Yeah, it's Powerline, and that is Disney, so I would do that.
For me, gosh, this is tough. I want to be someone silly. Who could I be? Oh man, doing Kingdom Hearts characters would be really fun.
Ooh, that would.
If there was a trio, I would love to do the Kingdom Hearts characters.
I would join you for that if we had a trio.
Okay, I know who I want to do. I don't know how I'll make it work, but since I'm just throwing it out there. Have you ever seen the movie A Bug's Life?
I have.
I want to be Heimlich, the caterpillar.
I support that, and I think we should do it.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of them at the convention, so I think I'm safe there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's a good option. I don't know how it's to be made done. If anyone has any ideas, let me know.
Yeah, that was like Pixar's second film, so I bet a lot of people our age remember it. But then, like, we probably also forgot that it was a movie, so it'd be one of those things where people would see you dressed up like that, and it'd be, like, triggering super nostalgia, and you'd probably get a ton of pictures.
Yeah, I remember I loved that movie as a kid. Dennis Leary as the ladybug?
Yes.
You can't beat that.
That was indeed, I love that movie, and it's still one of my favorite Pixar films. And this was before Pixar got really good at animation. Like, if you compare, say, Toy Story 3 to Toy Story to Toy Story 1, like, the humans look horrifying. Like, that, it makes sense why they made it. Yeah, it makes sense why they made it, like, mainly about toys, because they just could not figure out human animation at that point in time. But now, like, they've got it down pat. The humans look more human-like and stuff. So, yeah, it's like, but Bug's Life, like, they're doing bugs, they're being creative, so they got to do, like, a bunch of, you know, they got to do a lot of things with that.
It felt like, I don't know, what was it? Watching the original Toy Story feels like watching PlayStation cutscenes. Like, the first PlayStation cutscenes.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Disney owns Fox. Disney owns, I guess, some of the rights to King of the Hill, so we can go as King of the Hill characters. I can go as Buddha Sack.
Oh, nice. I was going to ask you who you wanted to go as.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's tough. Now, who do I go as? I don't want to be obvious. I don't want to go. You know what? I'm going to go as a manger baby.
I support that.
Was the penguin with the monocle?
Feather bottom or something like that, or Sir Feather Bottom.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I don't think anyone will get it, but for the few people who do, my heart, like, that would be everything. Someone's like, "You're a manger baby."
That would be awesome. Some people would catch on for sure. But yeah, that was a good segue. Let's talk about this episode, Traffic Jam, which is, we see this character maybe two or three more times in the season, but this is the only, or in the series rather, but this is the only episode where we see him portrayed by Chris Rock. This is a season 2, episode 16, so really early. And it's one of, I mean, yes, I know. I always say it. These are my favorite episodes. This is one of my favorite episodes because it's super quotable. And it's Bobby and Hank Heavy and the juxtaposition between the two of them. It's funny, but then also the whole just Buddha sack. Let's just dump into it and see how it goes. So we're at the Hill House and Hank is getting ready, you know, for his day. He's brushing his teeth while he's in the kitchen and Peggy's is grading papers. Like, "Oh, you know, Hank, I need you to drive me to school today because I'm on a roll with all these grades, and you know, I don't want to break my one day turnaround record." And Hank's like, "Oh, okay, fine. I have to go to a sale anyway." And so, you know, Hank gets in the car, they back up, and it's funny. It's a very slight joke. But if you're paying attention, you can pick up on it. As Peggy is grading the papers, you can tell she's not reading them. She's just, it's the papers are what I did with my summer vacation. And she's grading them based on where they went. Because, like, you can tell she's not reading them because she's like, let's see, Dallas, B. Waco, B. New York City, C. Arlen, A. So, like, clearly, like, there's, unless she's not a speed reader. There's no indication that she's a speed reader. So, clearly, she's... Yeah. So Hank backs up and he hits Khan because Khan backed up, but he went in the opposite direction. And Khan comes out and he pretends he's hurt, like, "Oh, my neck's broken. I'm going to sue you." "Oh, it's just Hank Hill. Why bother? I have everything. I have everything you have, but better." And then Hank's back. He's like, "On this side of the world, we back out on the left, not right." And then Khan's like, "Oh, just my luck. I was struck by an uninsured hillbilly." And Hank's like, "Not only am I insured, but I'm in the perfect payment club." And then, you know, Khan just kind of looks around. It's like, "Oh, my neck, I think it's broken." We see the insurance company. They're there. And the insurance adjuster is asking, you know, general questions, like, which I find funny because that is such a Hank thing they would do. Now, granted, this was in the 90s. Maybe that's how you handle insurance. But anytime I had to, like, deal with a wreck or anything, I just did it all over the phone. So, but they actually are in the insurance office. They're like, "Did you have anything to drink? Did you use any mouthwash? Did you eat an unusual amount of sausage?" And Hank's like, "Look, are we covered?" It's like, "Yes, except for the deductible. And of course, your insurance is going to go up." And Hank's like, "What? What? Why? Why is that?" It's like, "Oh, well, you know, to cover the cost of the repairs." It's like, "Well, why don't I just get a loan? And why don't I just get rid of the insurance, get a loan to fix the truck and leave it at that?" It's like, "That's illegal to drive without insurance. But you can lower your rates if you take traffic school." And so they're looking at, they give her like a bunch of pamphlets for traffic school. And Hank and family are looking through them. And there's like an ice cream lovers and a vegetarian is like, and it's funny because Luann's like, "No matter what your problem is, they have a traffic school for it." I just found it funny because like, this is, like, this might be getting a little too real here, but I never understood that about insurance. Like, you could pay insurance premiums for 10 years. Like, you could have paid to repair your car 5 times over, and you get in an accident, they decide, "Oh, we're going to raise your rates." It's like, why bother giving me insurance? Like, isn't that what the insurance was for?
This is true. It just feels like, I don't know, a scam of some sorts that, like, I could have just been saving this money in case I got in an accident.
Exactly.
And then just paid it off myself.
Exactly. It seems like a grift. It's like the world's most legal grift, is what I've always thought of insurance as.
Because I figure if someone is does not have like if they can't afford insurance or like afford to fix a car, they're not gonna have insurance. And then now where are you at?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hey, Hank is Hank's upset, rightfully so, but they gave him an out. They said he could do defensive driving. I've done that myself as well when I've gotten speeding tickets in the past to get the ticket because they report the ticket. Or what is it? So I guess maybe the laws are different in each state, but I know in Texas they won't report the ticket to your insurance if you do the defensive driving. So I've done that before. Have you ever had to do the defensive driving before?
I wanted to, but then I just like was, I don't know. I was thinking about doing it and then I just never did it.
That's fair.
I guess that's the thing. So no, I have not. If I knew it was like this though, I would have gone.
Yeah, Hank signs up for defensive driving, so it's DEF, then like a dash, and then ensive, and then Hank's like, "There you go. This one's straight to the point, though their spelling is off." So you know, I guess Hank just thinks, "Oh, this is just going to be a simple defensive driving." So he goes to Snaps, which is a comedy club and a strip center, and he sees that Khan is there, and he's like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And it's like, "Oh, you know, I've got to get, you know, for my defensive driving insurance, stuff like that." And the defensive driving, the teacher comes out. There's a DJ in the back, like, who's a DJ slash hype man. And it's the defensive driving teacher is named Budasek, who's played by Chris Rock. And he's a comedian. And it's funny because, like, he's pretty much, like, all the classes are pretty much just him doing a comedy bit. He doesn't actually teach anything. He comes out and he pretty much just does comedy routine. And he's like, "Yo, what's up? What's up? What's up? Look at all the white people here. They say only black people break the laws," and everybody else is laughing except Frank. He's like, "What? That's not true." And then he like pulls out some woman from the audience. He's like, "Look at this woman. Booty's so big she could smash license plates." And it's like, "Oh, come and spend some time with me in detention after class, if you know what I'm saying." And then Hank's just like tied himself like, "Oh, this has nothing to do with driving." And then he speaks up. He's like, "Excuse me, but do you have a lesson plan?" And Budasek gets offended like, "Oh, what you say? A black man can't have a lesson plan? My plan is I'm not going to teach lesson. You shut up." And then Hank is like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean any offense." And then Budasek's just like laughing because Hank got offended, didn't realize he showed. He's like, "Crap, are you taking me serious?" And then he's like, "Oh, this is not a laughing matter. Learning driving skills is very important." And he just keeps getting on jokes on Hank about like, you know, "You're so white" and all that stuff. Hank is, well, as you can expect, not happy. And he goes back home. And he's telling Peggy and Bobby about the day. And, like, he talks about how he met Budasek. And Bobby is so happy. He's like, "I saw him a few years ago at breakfast at the Apollo." And, you know, he's one of the reasons I want to become a comedian, which really irks Hank. And he's like, "Bobby, I think you're old enough to have this discussion. Show business is inherently evil." And Peggy is like, we just said we're not going to have this talk with him until he's 18. And then Hank's like, "You know, their lives might look good. They might show off, and comedians might show off, and they might get beautiful women and drive fast trucks." And then Bobby's like, "They make fast trucks?" Hank just kind of ignores that. It's like, "But it's not a stable career. Here, I'm going to take you to my next class and show you how sad and unfulfilling it actually is." So, yeah, we're kind of at odds with the two because, you know, Bobby, he wants to be a comedian. He wants to live that Hollywood lifestyle. But then Hank is like, "No, Hollywood is wrong. Like, you need to be a normal, you know, working man. That's what you got to do. That's an honorable job." And, I mean, he even says that Hollywood is inherently evil. So, how does that class stay open? Like, clearly he's been doing it for a while. Like, has nobody reported that everybody has failed the state exam because nobody has actually learned anything from the class?
Oh, I don't know. It feels like Khan's taken that class more than once, though.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. That is interesting. Though, I mean, we do find out there have been some complaints.
Yeah. I also find it funny that he's like, Hank has to go back. Now, granted, I don't know. I never drove in the 90s, so maybe the laws were different back then. But when I did defensive driving in the 2000s, it was like an afternoon. It was not like a 3 or 4 day thing.
And you did comedy defensive driving?
Yeah, it was at like a, it was at a restaurant. It wasn't at a comedy club. Oh. It was at a restaurant, but like it was the comedy defensive driving, and they actually had like a San Antonio stand-up comedian do the jokes.
Oh man, how awesome would it be if it was Jeff Tate or something like that?
Or like, yeah, or if it was like a comedian on his way up, like you got to get like an early Kevin Hart or something as your teacher.
Oh man, can you imagine early Dave Chappelle? That would be all, like trying to teach you defensive driving.
Yeah, like if you were doing it in like the 70s or 80s or something when Dave Chappelle was coming on his way up, like you did a defensive driving with him. Oh man, that would be awesome.
I also did wonder why it was a 3 day event.
I mean, he got Buddha sack, so that's something, I guess.
Is breakfast at the Apollo a real thing?
No, it's not. It's, I guess, a fake thing.
I know night at the Apollo.
Yeah, showtime at the Apollo is a thing. I'm pretty sure breakfast. Let me look it up. I'm like 90% sure it wasn't a thing, but maybe it was like a short lived show. Nope, just showtime.
That'd been awesome. Breakfast at the Apollo.
Which I feel like that's like for people who aren't good enough to be on Showtime at the Apollo, but they're, I guess, good enough to be on something. They go on Breakfast at the Apollo. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny to watch that, though. So we go back to Snaps with the Z. And Budasak's doing his, you know, bits like, why people be driving like this and why people walk like that? And then he tells an Asian joke and that offends Khan. And Bobby is laughing and cheering and everything. And he's just like, oh, Budasak. And then Budasak pulls him on stage. He's like, Opie Taylor, what's going on here? And then he's like, what are you doing here? Like, did you crash your bike or something? He's like, no, my dad wanted to bring me here to show me how sad you really are. And Budasak is like, you're right, I'm really sad. And of course Hank like nods in approval, thinking like, oh, he really got to him or whatever. But he's like, not as sad as your daddy. And he makes all these jokes to him. He's like, you know, white guy, you know, he just does his thing. And then he ends, and then Bobby ends it with like, and he likes French fries. So then Hank is livid, but Budasak's like, this is the white rerun. You saw it here today. The white rerun. All of a sudden, we see the alley, and oh gosh, Hank is not happy, and he's talking to guys. He's just like, oh, I got one more class to do, and then I'd never have to deal with this guy again. And he's like, you know, Dave Henson lived in that house for 15 years, and he never backed into us. And then, of course, you know, Dale's like, yeah, but he was like a 500-pound shut-in. He didn't leave until he moved out. I'm like, yeah, they replaced the wall nice, and they kind of show like Khan's wall, but there's like clearly like a painted outline for where the bricks don't match, for where, like, that are the size of a person, showing that they had to like knock out the wall to move him. All of a sudden, go ahead.
I mean, that's hilarious. Like, I love that scene. I almost spit my water out when I saw that part. With the, they're like, they patched the hole up pretty nicely. Though I feel like the guys would feel like that was not a good patch job if you could still see the outline of the person. I feel like Hank has better standards than that.
I would like to think he does, but who knows?
Also, Rerun is a very old reference, even for, like, this show. I felt like.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Was it? So, I never really watched What's Happening, so maybe. Yeah, it looks like it ended
in the 70s.
It ended in the 70s. It ended in 79, so yeah, that would have been over a decade of reference. But then again, that's like, you know, how we don't know how old Budasak is, but maybe that's what he grew up watching. And he's like, I think even I, like, if I were to talk about comedians, I'd probably make a lot of references to 2000s and like 90s comedians and not like the modern brand new ones. So I'd probably like still reference like Patton Oswalt or even like, it'd be like somebody in the 2000s or somebody in like 2010 referencing In Living Color or whatnot. Talk about David Alan Greer.
I wanted to say, whatever happened to Janine Garofalo?
Oh, I love that bit. I don't know if anybody's heard it. It was like from her 2009 comedy special. I think it was in like 2009, 2010. Janine Garofalo does a bit where she talks about like how she's like over the years she's been kind of obscure, and she's like at a restaurant and the waiter comes up to her and is like, "Oh, did anybody ever tell you you look just like Janine Garofalo?" And she's like, "Oh, no, they haven't." And then she's like, "But it gets better." He's like, "Whatever happened to her?" <It's> like,
oh, man. I listen to a lot of comedy. I love a lot of stand-up comedy. It takes a lot now to make me laugh so hard I'm crying. But I heard that, I think I was driving, or I heard that and I just, like, I couldn't stop laughing. I was crying so hard. That is such a great, it's such a great joke. She does it so well, too.
Mm-hmm. Though, honestly, if Janine Garofalo walked right past me on the street, I don't know that I'd recognize her at first.
I also don't think, if she's not wearing those thick black frame glasses, I don't know if I could recognize her.
I don't know. Like, yeah, that is kind of like part of her thing, but she hasn't been in anything for a long time, so I probably would not recognize her if I walked right by her. Speaking about walking, Bobby walks out, and he has, like, I guess, like a portable mini boombox or whatever. One of those things that has, like, the microphone built in that you, like, you know, in the 90s, you probably could buy for, like, $30 at Target or something. And it's playing, like, the hip-hop music underneath. And Bobby is like, yo, what's up? And he's telling, like, all the white jokes, like, look at all the white people got no butts, the most no buttonest having people ever. Like, the jokes really aren't that funny. Maybe it's his delivery, but the guys are just laughing hard. Dale even spits out his beer, and Hank's not having fun. And then Bobby leaves, you know, ends his bit, and Hank's like, I appreciate you guys, you know, humoring him, but I don't want you to... don't want you to encourage him. I want him to be demoralized out of this comedy thing. Bobby then goes to Snaps during the daytime and sees Budasak, and Budasak's there, like, filling up the ketchup bottles. So I guess he's, along with teaching classes, he's also, like, a waiter or service staff or something. You know, Bobby goes to see him. He's like, yeah, I was inspired by you. I saw you on Breakfast at the Apollo, and he's like, you saw that? Oh, please, come on, sit down, have a bottle of ketchup. And Bobby laughs, and he's like, you know, you're what makes me want to be a comedian. Why are you in Ireland? And he's like, I got kicked off of TV for being too risque on Moesha, which is a dated reference. I don't know if people remember, but singer Brandy, Ray J, the creator of Raycon Airbuds, his sister, who was a big R&B singer in the 90s, had a sitcom on UPN, which is also a defunct network, called Moesha. So there's a dated reference for you. But, you know, then he's like, you know, TV's not where it's at, though. You know, you're expected to put out the same material and stuff. I want to make people laugh and think. And Bobby's like, that's why you treat... teach traffic school. And he's like, And very sadly, like, yeah, that's why I teach traffic school. And obviously, the real reason is, like, being a stand-up comic is not a paying job for, like, the longest time. And you're going to do a lot of, like, menial labor. Just like a joke. So there's, I think the documentary is called Comedian or Comedy. And it is actually filmed at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin. And it follows Danny Palumbo, who once won Funniest Person in Austin. And the funny joke about it is that, like, at the end, after they give him, like, the sash and everything, like, it shows him driving to his job as a waiter at a seafood restaurant and stuff. So it's like, well, Funniest Person in Austin isn't like saying, oh, you're ready for Hollywood or anything. It's basically saying, like, you're beyond doing open mic nights. So, like, yeah, so, like, comedians, you're doing a lot of open mic and doing a lot of random jobs before you ever have a shot of hitting it big. And if you look at the amount of people who do comedy who don't make it, you know, that shot of making it big is pretty low. So anyway, yeah. Bobby decides to test out some jokes on Budasek. And they're all his jokes about why do cops be pulling me over and white people be like that? And Budasek's like, let me give you some constructive criticism, Bobby. You're not black. You need to be real. You know, you need to get into your white roots. Find things funny from your point of view. And then he brings up, like, his dad's narrow urethra and, you know, he's laughing and he's like, you know, and then Bobby's like, oh, you know, my dad says that, you know, comedy is a nowhere job. And he's like, comedy's not about listening to your daddy. Do you think Shucky Ducky listened to his dad? You know, when you get your routine together, come and you can come in my open mic night. I like that whole thing. We get a little bit of Budasek's backstory. He got on Moesha and got kicked off, and now he's stuck in Ireland doing like the traffic school.
I do wonder what he did on Moesh that got him kicked off, because that's a scripted comedy show.
That's true. It's not like it's live. Like, maybe he just kept breaking the rules, so they just like, okay, look, we can't keep reshooting this. You're gone. That's my headcanon anyway.
Oh man, I'm curious to see, like, and I don't know. I think a missed opportunity to not have Brandy on the show.
You know what? Maybe if they do the reboot, they can close the loop on this for us. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think she's expensive.
Not anymore. I think her brother technically is doing better than she is, and largely because of the Raycon earbuds. So I don't think I've listened to a podcast or a YouTube video. Like, I don't think I can go 3 days without hearing a Raycon ad. So
I know. And Raycon, we're here. You know, if you want a sponsorship, you know, we can throw it our way.
Exactly. I have used Raycons before. They were all right. It's been a while though, so I don't know. Maybe the technology has gotten better. Hank probably wouldn't use it because
we lost the Raycon ad just now.
Yeah. I don't know. Hank probably wouldn't use Raycon. He'd probably have like some really, really old headphones from the 80s. And he'd probably be upset.
I do love when Bobby comes out to do the bit. I just was thinking about that. Do you think he was coming in and out like every now and then just to do it like a small bit? Because then he'd be like, thank you, and leave. Do you think he would like, 7 minutes later, he'd be like back out there
couple
of bits. Because now I'm just like, I'm thinking about all of Bobby's things. Like, is this a character Bobby does now? Remember, like, the shoe shining character that Bobby did? Like, is this another thing that's like, because Hank's like, thank you for humoring him. I wonder if that's like, because he's been doing this for like 3 hours now.
Maybe. Or maybe it's because, I mean, that's possible, but I also think it's probably because Hank just does not like the joke, so he's just assuming that the guys are laughing their butt off just because they're trying to be nice.
I really hope Bobby's coming out every like 30 minutes. with the same jokes, though.
Oh, yeah, like, he hasn't even written a different joke the entire time.
Yeah, it's just the same material.
Oh, that would be funny, but terrible. But, you know, that's what a lot of people do. There's some stand-up comics. When I used to do stand-up comedy, you'd go to watch their set, and they'd literally be doing the same set every single time.
I do feel like, I mean, not to get off topic, that we never do, but if you listen to a comedian long enough, and then you go see them live a few times, you do hear the same joke now and then. But for me, it's kind of like when you go see a band perform, and you're like, I want to hear the classics.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to hear the classics.
Fair. That's a fair point.
You know, if Janine Garofalo doesn't tell that story, I'm rioting. I'm like, I'm out of here. Whoever you are, lady on stage. Whatever happened to Janine Garofalo?
I don't know. She just vanished. She vanished from the public eye. So we go back to the house. Hank is cracking walnuts with, like, I guess, you know, I'm not good at tools, so I don't know what that tool was. It was like a joint or something.
I think it's a vice
grip. Yeah, there you go, a vice grip. It was a vice grip, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Bobby comes in, he talks about the comedy night. Like, I went over to Snaps and I met Budasak, and he said I was good and I could do his comedy night. And Hank's like, I'm going to explain this in a way that even you can understand. I am not down with that. And then, you know, he's like, that means no. And Bobby's like, well, Budasak says good comedians don't listen to their dads. And, of course, this pisses Hank off. So we go back to Snaps, and it's the next day at the course and everything. And he attacks Budasak. He's just like, you know, it's clear that your mom didn't raise you right, telling my kid not to listen to his dad. And, you know, that was you even see the DJ, he's like, uh-oh, because you could tell that, like, that was a triggering thing, and now it's just a bunch of Yo Mama jokes, like, Yo Mama's so fat that when she wears heels, she strikes oil, and stuff like that. But then Hank, like, not only does he not laugh, he takes the joke way too seriously. He's like, my mother is not fat. She is 120 pounds, which is a normal weight for a woman her age. And yet, but you've never even met my mom. If you're going to pick on somebody, pick on me. And then Budasak's, okay, yo, your urethra so narrow that your sperm's walking through single file. Obviously, this pisses Hank off, and he leaves. And then, you know, Budasak's like, oh, if you leave, I'm going to fail you. And Hank's like, yeah, we'll see about that. Oh, man, Hank's just so boring, but it makes him so lovable, too. Just the fact that he is like, my mom's not fat at all. And he's like, she's 120 pounds. And it's just funny.
It's funny because he doesn't get the joke, which is like, makes the joke even funnier.
I agree. He doesn't get the joke, but he also doesn't get that it is a joke. Like, he thinks, like, Yo Mama jokes are obviously, like, not supposed to be real or anything. Like, you're not really insulting their mom or whatever. You're just saying random things to get a rise out of the other person. But it seems like Hank thinks that he's actually, like, talking about his mom. But, yeah, he's not happy. He is not happy at all. We go back to the house, and, you know, Bobby's trying to, you know, get in touch with his roots, so he goes to talk to his mom, who's in, like, her little office, and it's like, oh, do you have a minute, Mom? And she's like, for you? Absolutely. And she brings out, like, an egg timer and literally, like, puts a minute on it. And then, and it's like, oh, I just want to know more about my roots so that I can, you know, write these jokes and stuff. And then she's like, oh, well, your family has a very rich history. Your granddad and his dad and his dad all had jobs and houses and were married and had children. And then Bobby's like, but was there anything funny about them? It's like, oh, you've never heard of a butter churn with a mind of its own? Oh, and your great Aunt Charlotte, we used to call her Mrs. Magoo because she couldn't see well. And because she drank a lot. And then the little timer goes off and Peggy goes back to what she was doing. So then Bobby goes to his friends and tries to tell the butter churn joke, but nobody laughs. But Connie's like, hey, I guess that's funny and like, you know, in an old person way. And then Bobby's like, Connie, you're lucky. You're ethnic. Joseph and I are just white and boring.
Oh, Joseph.
Because, you know, there are no white comedians who are funny. That's just kind of what is implied there. But yeah, I don't know. It's just so funny. Bobby's trying so hard, but I think that's part of being a comedian is being able to find things that are funny, like observational humor. Like the fact that he's trying to make jokes happen shows that he is like, yeah, he's just, granted, he's young. He's 13. He's still got a ways to go, but still.
I always hear that thing where they're like, if you can't write anything, you got to go live life some more. So
pretty much.
I feel like that would have been better advice to give Bobby than like go to your roots.
Yeah, well, I think it was because he was actively trying to get Bobby to get away from telling black jokes. So maybe that was why. But yeah, he definitely should have said, well, he did kind of say that, but I guess Bobby picked up the wrong thing because he says you got to be real with yourself, say things that are funny to you. So then he said, like, get in touch with your roots, which I guess Bobby misinterpreted, I guess, maybe. But, you know, Hank's not happy at all. Hank is at the office. He is complaining to the manager. And, you know, and then the manager's like, what? He called your mother fat? He's like, yeah. Has he ever met your mother? He's like, no. And he's like, oh, man. And then Hank's like, oh, and I want to say I have a complaint about the videos that you guys are showing. They aren't gory enough. Let me recommend Red Asphalt, which I believe is a real movie because I saw it in high school. And yeah, it's like, yeah, it is very gross. They'll show like, you know, mangled bodies and cars and stuff like that. It's like, I like your spirit. Well, and the Buddha sack comes in and, you know, he's like, what do you want? And the manager is upset. He's like, this guy complained about your mom, about your insults. I said, Mom, my fault that God didn't give him a butt. He should take it up with him. And he's like, no, Buddhist text, like, hey, I got a freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want. Thomas Jefferson would be rolling in his grave right now with a bunch of slave women on top of him. And Hank's like, now see here, that's one of our founding fathers. And then Budasak leaves and it's like, well, Budasak's not going to be working here anymore. Now I shouldn't be doing this, but let me transfer you to a chocoholics class. And so they do that. We go back to Bobby and we see him on the internet with Joseph and they're trying to get into their roots. So there you go. Like, well, let's go to the search engine, type in some keywords like white, roots, funny. And then it takes them to the White Nationalist Brotherhood website. So obviously this is not going to go well. Bobby shows up to the alley and asks the guy to take him to the comedy show. Bill and Dale agree. Boomhauer says no because apparently he has some history with the cocktail waitress and her roommate. Hank arrives and asks Boomhauer where they went, and he kind of gives his answer, but in the Boomhauer way. And then Hank's like, "What? He's not Snaps." So Hank goes over to Snaps. So now we're at Snaps, and guys on stage. Bobby arrives and he's getting ready to tell his jokes, and Budasak brings him on, and Bobby's like, hey, "All right." Now, who here is from the Nordic subgroup of the Aryan race? And, you know, everybody's just kind of staring at him. And then he's like, I tell you, it's hard for a white man out here. I'm so white that during the riots, I bought a TV set. And people are just staring at him. And he's like, is this thing on? And they start booing and hissing. And, you know, Dale's like, oh, no, he's bombing, run away. So he runs, and as he runs out, he bumps into Hank and tells Hank what's going on. And when Hank goes in, he sees that Bobby is still on stage being booed. And he's like, let me tell you guys a slavery joke from the days of yore. And, you know, Hank's like, oh, terrible. And he's like, he gets on there and he tries to help them. And, you know, everybody's like, will you shut this Nazi up? And Hank's like, no, he's just a kid. He doesn't know better. Look, I'm his father. Oh, and who are you? The Grand Wizard? He's like, no, I sell propane and propane accessories. Then Budasak comes up and he's like, tries to save him. And he's like, you know, oh, Bobby, those jokes weren't funny. And he's like, you know, we don't let jokes like that get told here. And everybody's like, yeah. And it's like, we, in fact, nobody should speak like that, right? And like, everybody's like, yeah. And he's like, wrong. We all have a freedom of speech, and anybody can come up here and say whatever dumbass thing they want. And everybody's like, nobody's on board with this idea, like, at all. They're just like, and then, so Buddha Sack's just like, he has to divert just to save himself. And he's like, and by the way, look at his daddy. I mean, he's got a booty so small that he has to hula hoop with a Cheerio, not a Fruit Loop, a Cheerio. And everybody's laughing. He wins again. Hank thanks Buddha Sack for being able to think quickly and save his son, despite, you know, Hank insulting him and stuff. And Buddha Sack's like, oh, yeah, it's fine and stuff. Hank's like, you know, if you want to get a real job, you should come work at Strickland Propane. You know, this humor thing's pretty much dead. They go to Strickland, and Hank is training Buddha Sack. Well, now we know that his real name is Roger. And Roger's at Roger is now Strickland. He's working, and Hank and Roger Buddha Sack walk, and Hank makes a kind of a yo mama joke. He's saying, I'm sorry for what I said about your mom not raising you right. Had she planned you, maybe she would have done a better job. And then Buddha Sack's like, what did she say about my mom? It's like, Hank's like, oh, you got you. It's like, oh, Drew Carey got jokes. And then Buddha Sack starts telling jokes, but Hank tries to tell them, but they're not that funny. He's like, well, your mom's so ugly that it really affects her self-esteem. Yeah. Well, your mom's so ugly, she looks more like a man and less like a woman. And then Buddha Sack's like, more like a man, less like a woman. Okay, we'll work on that one. Okay, how about this? Your mom's armpits so smelly, they smell like propane. And Hank's like, now see here, mister, a joke's a joke, but that's too far. Propane has no natural order. And then it, you know, goes to the ending there, so... I like this episode. I like the whole Buddha Sack arc. I love everything about it. How can you not love it?
Oh, yeah. I love it that they decided to keep him on as kind of a secondary character. Yeah, because like, yeah, you don't have to see the Strickland Propane sales team, but it's cool that he can come in and out. And we do see that throughout the series. And it's a good, fun jolt of energy.
I agree. It's very fun. And we, like I did say, I mean, he is a pretty minor character. He only shows up maybe... I can think of two off the head, top of my head, but I feel like there's a fourth one or a third one that he shows up in the future episodes. In fact, we just covered one, the Grand Theft Hank. We see Buddha Sack in that one. But yeah, he is a great character. I wish they would have been able to bring Chris Rock back in, but I guess he would have been too expensive because it's a like a Chris Rock impersonator who's doing the voice in other episodes. I could be wrong, but I'm like 90% sure that's the case. Because it's very rare. I mean, I feel like there's been very few examples where you had a big actor return. Like I could, for example, like Tom Petty comes to voice Lucky in the later episodes. But yeah, so it looks like Phil Lamar voices him in the subsequent episodes. But yeah, I like him as a character. I like Bobby's tone deafness, how he tells, like, now granted, if it weren't so racist, that was actually a pretty funny joke, the I'm so white I bought a TV during the riots.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, that was a funny joke, despite the fact that it was racist. What did you think about Bobby's bit?
I mean, definitely need some work. I don't know. I don't know how many jokes we start with in ye old time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that audience was also not forgiving for Bobby being I don't know if a racist child goes up on stage. This is very tough to... I don't know what my reaction would be.
Also, it's a very important life lesson because you're going to get heckled on stage, like, regardless. So, you know, he better get used to it now if that's really a career he wants to pursue.
And I hope so. Well, I mean, I love Bobby. Anytime Bobby's doing comedy, I love it, so...
You know, I've never actually been heckled when I did stand-up. I guess when people just didn't like my jokes, they just didn't... Maybe I just never had a really drunk person in a room before. Maybe I've been fortunate to escape that.
I've been called out at one of your comedy things. That lady, yes, in that parrot vest haunts me in my dreams. Or it's not just parrots. Yeah. It was like a whole bunch of birds.
Yeah, she had a really weird sweater that had a bunch of like knit birds on it. And I guess like if you've ever seen the movie Poltergeist, think about that woman like, Caroline, come to the TV. Yeah, that's pretty much who she is.
Now I don't even know how to say the name. Like, I think I said it Manchak, but what'd she say? Is it not Manchak? Is it
Manchaca? It's Manchaca.
Anytime I hear it, I'm like triggered now. She summoned into my life. You say the street name in Austin three times wrong, you summon her.
Yep, say it in front of a mirror.
Yeah. I go in a man shack. She's like, it's Manchaca.
Well, that's also what you get for sitting in the front row. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, as a seasoned comedy show goer, I should have known, but, you know, wanted to go support you.
Yeah, I appreciate you supporting me, but I don't remember the night that well, but I'm pretty confident you and Sam were like the only two in the front row also, so.
This is true, but to my defense, I never get to sit in the front, like, because, like, you go see some comedians there, the front row seats are, like, premium seats, so I don't get to sit there. I wanted to feel the luxuriousness of sitting in a premium seat. But, you know, if I can give someone some material, then, you know what, it's worth it.
Maybe she just was not prepared with her material at all, and that's how she did it. you saved her.
Yeah. That she didn't, she never mentioned the vest. I feel like that was such a missed opportunity. Like, I don't know. I wanted to know her backstory. She's like the filler episode of a show that I wanted. Like, where did she come from? How did she end up here?
I can appreciate that. I agree. But yeah, this one, I love the episode. I love Bobby trying to be a comedian, but like really bombing at his jokes. There's just so much I love about this episode.
Yeah, and when you think about this episode, like, this is kind of the start of Bobby becoming a comedian. Like, when we see him later in later seasons, he's more like seasoned. He's more of a veteran. Like, he can go up on stage and he can feel the crowd and he can kind of like maneuver through it. It's really interesting seeing him at like his first open mic ever with no material.
Yeah, and this is like earlier seasons. This is season two, late in season two, but it's season two. So when you really think about it, he's not that seasoned at this point in time. Like, he's this is like his early stage.
Yeah, and like soon he'll be selling jokes to, was it Yakov Smirnoff? Like, was that his name? Is his name?
Yeah, Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah. Soon he'll be selling jokes to famous comedians.
Yeah, so we get to see Bobby on his way up. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. That's all I have for this episode. What about you?
Yep, that's all I got.
All right. Well, next time we will be doing
Yard She Blows.
So yeah, so next episode we're going to be doing Yard She Blows, and this one is actually one of Jimmy's favorites. So we'll get to talk a little bit. One? Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah. So be sure to listen to Jimmy's favorite next time. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.